The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and tonight, today, this edition, moms are trying to kill their kids in New Jersey via suntan. I am joined by Ashley Kane and one Mr. Presidential Hater himself, Travis Cook. Along with, we are doing the Tournament of Pop Culture Best Third Movies or Threequels of All Time. That's right. In no specific order, so we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But first, ladies and gentlemen, welcome my guests, Ashley and Travis Cook. What's going on, guys?
Not much.
Not much?
I appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay.
And it's great to be here as always, and there's quite a bit going on in the world right now.
What's going on? Name one thing important.
Oh, name one thing. We have, oh, I don't know, a freaking presidential election happening.
That's happening.
What about that football player that just killed himself today?
Oh, Junior Seau.
Junior Seau.
Well, reportedly.
I think he's dead. Yeah,
Confirmed. He committed suicide. He killed something.
Yeah, and that was a really weird deal because he was the guy, what was it, back in 2010? That there was some deal with him like beating up a girl and getting arrested, and then he goes and launches his SUV off of a cliff like 10 minutes
later.
Yeah,
he had some issues. He had some real issues, but in the end, I guess it all worked out for him, you know, because he was planning on killing himself one way or the other, and he finally said he shot himself in the chest. That's a very, very, very like painful, long-winded way to go. Unless you like hit the heart directly and you're just out. Like you could just hit the chest, like go through muscle, and then just sit there and bleed out for like the next 6 hours.
Yeah, I hate to sound morbid about it, but some friends of mine and I were talking about this at work today, and normally in cases of suicide, of course I'm not making light of suicide, but in those cases, you do not ordinarily see people shoot themselves in the chest. I mean, there's generally other ways they go about that. That's kind of
surprising. Mouth, head, whatever.
People I was working with were saying, okay, maybe it wasn't a suicide because of that. I don't know, but it does seem odd.
It was odd. And, you know, it's really funny because he had a great career. I mean, he didn't win any Super Bowls, but as far as franchise players go, he was the San Diego Chargers franchise player for years.
Oh, yeah.
The guy was fantastic on the field. He was very good at what he did. And he kind of had his own, like, group of followers and fans in the whole Seau crew, you know?
Well, think back to that 94 Chargers team. Off the top of your head, can you name one other person on that team?
Nope. I can name the quarterback to beat him, though. Steve Young. That's all I remember.
I'm sure you can.
That's all I remember. What about you, Ashley?
No, I was going to say I know.
No.
But what about that other football player? This seems to be like a pattern. A few years ago, there was a Bengals player that had some problems with his girlfriend or his baby's mother, and then he ended up falling out the back of his SUV.
Chris something.
The Bengals?
Right. Got that. And
he's a wide receiver. I can't think of his name.
I can't remember his name.
But this seems to be...
I can't remember it for anything. Chris Johnson?
Yeah, Johnson.
Was it Chris Johnson? And, of course, we had our friend from the Tennessee Titans, who had the girlfriend who ended up killing him and herself. Remember the former quarterback, Steve McNair?
Oh, yeah.
He had the situation with that. You know, there just seems to be a lot of that that goes around, you know, situations that pop off at the wrong time.
I think if there is a lesson to be learned here... Mm-hmm. And there might not be, but if there is a lesson to be learned here, if you are a National Football League player, be very careful about the women that you choose to be your baby mama.
Okay.
Because some of them can lead you to your demise.
They probably will. You know what else will lead us to our demise?
What will lead us to our demise?
Probably a Republican who becomes the President of the United States. Again.
Really?
Again.
Let's not hope that happens.
Well, let's not hope that happens, Ashley, but we have to take into account the potential that these things could happen.
I'm being double teamed here, and not in a good way. Oh. You know, Mitt Romney is not someone
that double teaming you, and she is fantastic at double teaming people.
Okay. Yeah. Nevertheless,
she admitted to it.
I will let the imagination go with that one, but nevertheless, I'm not a Mitt Romney fan per se, but I like him a lot better than the alternative. I'm anxious to see who the vice presidential candidate is going to be.
You like a stale, old, stuffy, white Republican who you like him better than Obama?
Yes. And not and don't get me wrong. It's not that I particularly like that stuffy, rich Republican all that much. He was pretty much the last guy I supported in the primaries. I was the chief of the anyone but Obama party, or anyone but Romney party, anyone but Obama too. I was a Herman Cain man, truth be told, but he sort of got
you like him black. We get it. You like him black.
I like him with a good economic philosophy, and let's just say his taste in the ladies wasn't too far off from mine either. So.
All right,
I can appreciate that.
Let's move on. We'll get to some of that here in a few minutes, but. I did have a question for you guys. Mom, up in New Jersey, okay?
Well, New Jersey, that explains it all.
That does explain quite a bit. But a mom up in New Jersey has decided to... Well, let me tell you the story. Break it down.
Tell us the story, Uncle Mark.
Patricia Krenzel, a 44-year-old mom from Nutley, New Jersey, of course.
One of the best-named towns in America.
Best-named. Has been arrested for allegedly taking her 5-year-old daughter into a tanning booth with her, giving the child a pretty severe sunburn. And that, you know, might this be as good as the time to any to begin the serious and sober national debate over whether the best course of action would be to put a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to work trying to somehow physically saw the state of New Jersey off of the United States proper, allowing it to float out to sea where it would live as a floating Babylon of tanning salons, juicy sweatpants, excretable, crappy accents, before finally and inevitably sinking into the ocean's dark waters, taking its motley crew of residents down in its icy embrace, never to be found again, similar to Atlantis.
Well, you know, if the United States were in need of an enema, you would stick the nozzle in New Jersey.
All right, so here's what happens. Lady... who literally, remember the movie Something About Mary? Remember her mom or her aunt or whatever that she looked, Magda? Magda, who would suntan constantly with the big suntan thing, and she was like seriously, like super dark brown.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This lady went on the Today Show earlier today. She's as red and brown as these curtains and that guitar. Like, she is brown.
So in other words, she looked just like Hoda.
Yeah, she looked like Hoda Kotb. Yeah, literally. She took her 5-year-old daughter into a tanning booth, okay, and made her stand in there for like 25 minutes. Now, you understand, when you go to these tanning places, the tanning booths are specifically set for like 10 minutes, you know, at a certain power and things like this. This little girl was forced to stand in one for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, something crazy. She is severely burned. Second-degree burns across her entire body and everything. It's just ridiculous, and I just don't understand how that works out. Like, I don't understand why. What would make her do that? Like, what goes through the mind of an individual as they get ready to go do something?
That's what I'm wondering.
Of just random stupidity, like voting for Mitt Romney.
Right.
Well, I don't know how you can equate the two. There's at least some ways you can justify voting for Mitt Romney, even though I'm going to have to hold my breath to do it. But I did see a picture of the mother in question. I'm using the term mother quite loosely here.
Very loosely.
But yeah, she's a walking catcher's mitt. I mean, this woman, she has leather for skin. And not the good leather like you have in a 66 Mustang.
Right.
This is like the bad leather that you see on some cheap furniture down at the Wally World or something. I mean, this is awful. And I heard a bit of the interview with her, and she sounded, God bless her, like she just was so clueless that she didn't realize it was wrong. Now, you said that you normally go into a tanning bed for, what, 10, 15 minutes, something like that. I don't know.
Something
I tan naturally.
But, something generally small.
But you got to think that whatever time you normally go into a tanning booth for, and I don't even know that you're supposed to put 5-year-olds in there. But
no, you have to be 18.
Yeah.
Which,
hello, there's a problem.
Right.
But if you were to find some way of justifying putting a 5-year-old in a tanning booth, and God knows what that would be, you would think that just the lower amount of mass that a 5-year-old has would mean that you would reduce the tanning time. I mean, it's simple mathematics, but I'm pretty sure this lady doesn't have a very good grasp on simple mathematics.
You have a good point. I think you're making a fantastic point.
It's all physics. and it stupidity.
I'm going to need you to sit back, too. You're blowing out my microphone, man. You're doing.
I have a powerful voice.
I want you to sit back. Yeah, you have a very powerful voice.
I speak from my diaphragm.
I want you to sit back and relax with me a little bit further back. That's all I want to do, just so that we're not blowing out the microphone. And we're getting great quality audio for these people to just juice over with the Travis Cook beautiful voice that you throw at them.
But America loves to hear what I say.
They do love to hear what you say.
Absolutely.
And by the way, don't forget to check out America's Evil Genius on YouTube.
Absolutely. YouTube.com/America's Evil Genius. My last program, which actually you'll be interested in, I talk about now that Mitt's the nominee, what do we do? I also answer the question of if I have degenerated.
Who gives better head?
No, I really don't discuss anything sexual in that episode.
Okay.
That was actually the last episode about why Colombian hookers are important. But in this week's episode, I answer the critics who think I may have descended into an alcohol-induced downward spiral at the nomination of Mitt Romney. You'll see for sure if I have or not.
You might have.
I think you might have.
A lot of people are saying I might have. But watch the video, you'll find out for
sure.
I
just want to touch it for a
second. Hey, you keep your hands off that.
What happened?
All right.
This is a family radio show.
All right, so Ashley, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Give me back my wallet.
Tell the fans out there and everybody what what you do in the world.
Well, I am a media mogul.
You're a media mogul.
Yes.
How much media do you mogul over?
Oh, hours and hours and tons of kilobytes a day.
That's a lot.
I am part owner of Commission Media.
Okay.
And we work with mostly artists, but we work with anyone who's an entertainer, anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur. We help them set up their companies. We do everything from photo shoots, videos, music, anything media related, social networking, Commission Media, we do it all.
And without the help of 12 Bar Studios and Commission Media, I would not be able to have done the show tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and I really do appreciate that. Thank you very much for having us into your studio. It's a beautiful studio, by the way. If you guys get a chance to check out anything, find these guys on Facebook, Commission Media, mm-hmm. The Commission, or The Commission.
Yeah.
Or they can always go to 12...
Ashley Kane.
AshleyKane.com. Right?
Well, Ashley Kane on Facebook.
Oh, Ashley Kane on Facebook.
Yeah.
I also thought you had a .com. I'm sorry.
No, not yet.
Working on it,
though.
We're working on it. And also, if you want to take a look at the studio that they work with.
12barproductions.com.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
This studio is palatial, I gotta say.
You are palatial in your own right.
I am, aren't
I? Can you guys explain that word to me?
It's big.
It's okay. Big, it's fancy, it's equipped. I mean, this is not the neighbor guy who says, oh yeah, I got a studio. Yeah, I mean, because those things pop up. This isn't the studio that's in the freaking mall. This is an actual state-of-the-art
studio.
This ain't
no Saints skating rink as Kiwan was talking about.
Oh.
When Kiwan was on the show, they did their album out of Saints. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
The skating rink. This ain't a skating rink.
No, but we do have a live room. You could potentially skate
turn into
in.
A skating rink. I see.
That.
I see what you're saying.
Money making opportunities everywhere.
Now, Travis is on my show quite a bit, Ashley, and I tend to take free pot shots at our friend Travis's personal life.
Really?
The ladies. He says that he's the ladies' man, but if you've ever seen the looks of this guy has, he could probably marry a chihuahua.
Whoa.
Yo Quiero, Travis Cook. Okay.
I'm a happening guy.
You are. For 1985, you are as happening as it gets.
1985 was a hell of a year.
It was a great year.
It was a great year.
It was a great year.
Rambo was awesome.
Yes, it was. That was 82. Yeah, you didn't realize.
First Blood Part 2 was 85.
First Blood Part 2?
Yeah, that's the one everybody remembers.
No. Everybody remembers the original one.
First Blood came out.
Rambo 1. That's it. Where he's in the mountains of Oregon.
No, I was actually in the mountains of southern Missouri back then, but never
Missouri.
Mind.
Missouri. Oh,
anyway,
that's why he voted.
The reason I brought this up, is because for you, what's your personal status at this point? Are you single? Are you married? Are you...
Single, unmarried.
Single, unmarried. Would you be interested in...
What are you, Chuck Woolery?
You guys color coordinated today.
Well, I was...
Different shoes, but, you know, same hairstyles and looks. And
hairstyles? Maybe hair color.
Hair colors. Hair color. You know, some blonde with black, you know what
right.
I'm saying? But you have, like, the khaki and black shirts and stuff. You're wearing khaki and black over there. So it was color coordination. I'm just thinking, you guys they look like just a little couple.
Are you turning...
The happy couple.
Are you turning this into an episode of Pimp My Guest?
Trying to.
I will say he's a little, what's the word? Pale for my taste. So I'm going to have to.
Not enough.
Because I haven't been in a New Jersey tanning bed in
right.
a while.
That's right. Or you could be 400 degrees for the next 12 hours. I get
You send like that New Jersey mom my way, I'll... That right. paleness question will be right out of the
gate.
Let's do a brief critique of a rich man's philosophy. The New York Times Magazine cover story this week is about Edward Conard, a wealthy private equity titan and former business partner of Mitt Romney's, who has written a book arguing that income inequality is actually good for the middle and lower classes because the promise of great wealth spurs more investing and risk-taking, which eventually benefits all of society. So basically he's saying is the fact that there are rich people compared to poor people, it makes you want to be rich, giving you that reason to want to invest, to attempt to gamble, basically, and become successful at it. Now, not everything's a gamble. Sometimes...
Actually, pretty much everything in life is a gamble, or at least a risk in some way.
All right. Now, must we note up front that the magazine
is a risk.
That the magazine has claimed jumped easy blog jokes by giving the piece a blinged out photo illustration and headline, "The Purpose of Spectacular Wealth According to Spectacularly Wealthy Guys." So we'll just take a short peek at the substance of what they actually wrote. If you'd like to bask in your rage against Edward Conard's robotic and heartless outlook on wealth, society, and love, please read this entire story, or that entire story. Conard is not a nut, though he has coherent economic and political philosophies. Here it is presented in its clearest form. And I just want to get your opinion, Travis.
Oh, you'll get my opinion.
A central problem with the U.S. economy...
Whether you want it or not.
Okay, anytime you're ready.
I'm letting you do your show. Read the story.
You do your
Uncle
show.
Mark.
You just keep doing the show. You do your show, buddy. Go ahead. Do your show. You done? All right, good. Central problem with the U.S. economy, he told me, is finding a way to get more people to look for solutions despite the terrible odds of success. Conard's solution is simple. Society benefits if the successful risk takers get a lot of money. For proof, he looks to the market. At a nearby table, we saw three young people in plaid shirts and floppy hair. For all we know, they may have been plotting the next generation's Twitter, but Conard felt sure they were merely lounging on the sidelines. What are they doing sitting here having a coffee at 2:30 in the afternoon yet? I'm sure those guys are college educated. Conard, who occasionally flashed a mean streak during our talks, started calling the group art history majors, his derisive term for pretty much anyone who was lucky enough to be born with the talent and opportunity to join the risk-taking, innovative hunting mechanism, but who chose to instead a less competitive life. So basically he's saying that many people are born with the ability to be out there, like to be the go-getter. But they choose to be just less out there. You know, they choose to be more.
I think there's probably some truth to that.
I agree, too. Yeah. I think that there is some truth to that. It's like a current payoff is motivating everybody to take risks, he said. We need twice as many people. When I look around, I see a world of unrealized opportunities for improvements, an abundance of talented people able to take the risk necessary to make improvements, but a shortage of people and investors willing to take those risks. Mm-hmm. That doesn't indicate to me risk takers as a whole are overpaid. Quite the opposite. The wealth concentrated at the top should be twice as large, he said. That way, the art history majors would feel compelled to try and join them. No, the art history majors and the janitors would feel more compelled to try and kill them. And I do agree with that to an extent. Now, where do you stand on that?
I agree with a lot of what he says. The one place I would stop short of him is that I don't know that you can look at the amount of income distribution or inequality, if you want to call it that. I don't know that you can look at that as an indicator one way or the other of a strength of economy. I think that's totally independent of how strong an economy is.
Okay.
I don't think that if there's tremendous wealth equality that it automatically means it's a good economy. I also don't think that if there's tremendous wealth inequality that it automatically means there's a good economy. But okay. I do think that part of what he's getting at is that you can have an inequality in wealth arise when you do have a free market economy and people that will have the opportunity to take risks and will take those risks and better our standard of living because of it. And if you look over history, the world history, your economies that have been more free market oriented have been the ones over time that have produced a better standard of living for, you know, the society as a whole. A place like Russia or China or some of the communist countries, they don't always have such a great standard of living. But yet you'd have to say that in America, for all of our faults, our standard of living is pretty darn good over here.
Oh, yeah. In comparison to many other countries in the world, we live in, like, just this room alone that we're recording in right now is more than, I mean, look what they called Osama bin Laden's mansion.
Oh, yeah.
When they went in and he took them out. It was literally like two garages stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
And he was calling it a mansion. And they showed the room.
That
he
was a flat in South St. Louis.
He had a CRT tube TV with, like, bad rabbit ears and tinfoil.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and they're calling it a mansion. That was not a mansion. Then again, you expect the guy hiding out to be living in something of that, but they called it a mansion over there, and it probably was.
It probably was for that group of people. You know, and the thing that amazes me sometimes, even within our own country, if you just look back 100 years, the millionaires of 100 years ago would have been absolutely envious of the lifestyle that a middle-class person of today lives, or even a poor person of today lives. I mean, you know, we take for granted things like refrigerators and televisions and computers and cell phones, but all of that would have been just mind-blowing for the wealthiest American of 1912.
Oh, of course, yes.
So tremendous progress has been made, and certainly throughout the world, but I think we've really led the way in that.
All right, well, here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break on the show. When we come back, it's going to be the tournament of pop culture, the next tournament of pop culture to hit the airways of the Q. This topic of the TOPC this time around, best third installments of movies. That's right, the threequels. Is your favorite on this list? Is your favorite going to end up winning this entire competition? I have scoured the internet, looked at sales of tickets, looked at overall gross, looked at which ones have gotten awards, which ones haven't gotten awards, what awards they've gotten out, to grab the top 16 sequel, but not sequel.
Threequel.
The threequel. The third one of all time for these different movies. And we're gonna put it to the test right after this. We'll be back on the queue in just a minute. Welcome back to the queue. During the break, Ashley and our friend Travis here damn near about killed each other, which was kind of nice.
That worked out really well for you.
You know, the only thing that stopped it was that we're in a very expensive TV recording studio here, and I did not want to get sued. That's all.
Well, I didn't want you to have to pay for any monitors or anything, so.
I didn't want to pay for any monitors.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Tournament of Pop Culture, one of the more popular things that we do on the queue over the last few years. We've done a ton of Tournament of Pop Cultures. We did Best Christmas Movies. We've done Biggest Summer Blockbusters, Best Current Television Shows, which we had the greatest ending of any one of our Tournament of Pop Cultures. I would behest anyone who has the time and effort to go back to thecuenow.com. That's the website for the show. Go find the archive section. Go back and find the Tournament of Pop Culture where we did current television shows. Listen to that one. There is a twist at the end that is absolutely amazing considering the people that were sitting in with us on that show.
Did you just say you would behest anyone?
I would behest anybody to do any of that whatsoever.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal in the state of Missouri.
With the Tournament of Pop Culture, here we go. Best third installment movies. Ashley, have you seen a lot of movies?
I have.
Are you a big fan of movies?
I love movies.
And do you have... Who's hot? If you guys don't know, Ashley's a relatively attractive young lady, and I'm sure that she just has the hots for certain Hollywood actors. Who's the guy that just turns you on when you see him in a movie? You're like, wow, it doesn't matter what I see him in. He's just hot.
I mean, you gotta have Denzel.
Okay.
You gotta have Al Pacino.
All right.
Robert De Niro.
Okay.
Johnny Depp.
Those guys are turning you on? Like seriously?
No, okay.
In like Chance heyday? Crawford? Not Chance Crawford?
I don't know who that
is. Or Matthew McConaughey?
No.
No?
No. Now that
Channing Tatum, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Well, okay, I meant Channing Tatum.
Yeah, yeah, he's fine.
The guy from Step It Up or whatever, Step Up
yeah,
the Dance
Yeah, he was
movie?
In that, he was in some movie with that Siegfried girl, Amy Siegfried or however you say
the
her
Vow?
Name.
Was he The Vow?
No, this was a different movie. But anyway, Dear John. Oh, he was hot in that movie.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
There's
I
things
mean, for
you
a white guy,
there's things you
could
have done for him, right? Is what you're saying.
I mean, I could have.
You could have.
I feel like I'm overhearing a conversation at a six Travis, slumber party.
Travis, can I ask you a question?
Who's
the ladies, when you see them in movies, that just turn you on? They're great actresses, or you're just like, wow, she is definitely, no matter what movie it is, she's hot.
First choice would be Selma Hayek. And okay. I don't ordinarily go for brunettes, but oh my God.
Her body is banging.
It is incredible. I mean, and she's not young anymore, but she just looks phenomenal.
I took
phenomenal.
You more for a George Clooney man. More for
George Clooney's
Clooney
a guy, therefore no.
Always going with the low blows.
All right, here we go. Nope, the low blows. That's Travis's specialty.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go.
Don't believe everything you hear on the internet.
Bob. All right. Tournament of Pop Culture, best third installment movies. So basically the rules are simple. We will read off the two. These were 16 different films. I did the research for them. They're in no specific order, and they were matched up randomly by a computer that generated this. So they are not in, like, the number one movie is not number one because it's number one. It's just the number one seed that was randomly generated by this computer.
Was it the same computer that you download porn on?
It is the exact same one of George Clooney porn. And I'm a big fan of George Clooney.
I bet you are.
Okay. Now, with that being said...
I'll just be sitting over here.
Okay, you do that. With that being said, we all take a vote, talk about the movies and what we liked and didn't like about them, and we break down which ones we feel need to move on to the next round until we get a winner. And that's that simple. That's how the Tournament of Pop Culture works. It's a Sweet 16 tournament of sorts. So let's start this bad boy off. Transformers 3 coming in. Up against Rocky 3. Now, I have a feeling I know exactly where Travis is laying his heart on this one. If you have to look any further than Thunderlips in Rocky 3, then there is no reason why Transformers moves on. Transformers 3, of course, the third installment with Shia LaBeouf. I thought it was more entertaining than the second one. What did you guys think?
I actually have never seen Transformers 3. But okay. I've got to go with Rocky 3 if for no other reason. I like the movie, first of all, but... If for no other reason that you and I both, every dime we've made out of the wrestling business, you can trace back to Rocky III, because that's when the explosion happened.
That's literally, it was. That's what made Hulk Hogan so famous that he eventually could take WrestleMania to the level that it went to and then turn professional wrestling into what it was.
Exactly.
And so, yes, I do agree with you. Ashley, Shia LaBeouf, are you part of the beef?
No, I mean, I haven't seen Transformers 3. Okay. But due to the just pure lameness sounding of the whole, okay, you have Transformers 1, great, okay, everyone loved it. 2, okay, how many machines and cars can we see?
Okay, all right. It's the
same, so I'm going to have to go with the classic, Rocky.
All right, fair enough. So Rocky is moving on in this tournament. I think that's 3 votes for Rocky. Now, next up, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, starring Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. Which is the third of a Sergio film that young man did back in the spaghetti western days. Up against the number 3 of the Evil Dead franchise, Army of Darkness, starring one Bruce Campbell. Now, I don't know if either of you guys have seen either of these two movies. I am a big fan of The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I think the storyline is fantastic. I think that when you get to the third installment, it's great when you have something like, and we'll see it down the list a little later, like a Jason Bourne character, or Indiana Jones, like a character that kind of moves through a thing, as opposed to like Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, you know, something that was spread apart from the actual normal franchise. And that's why I really like The Good and Bad and the Ugly. Now, you have the exact same character in Army of Darkness. Army of Darkness, definitely a horror spoof. Meant to be funny for horror spoof's sake. Where do you guys rest on this one?
I mean, I haven't seen the Army of Darkness, but based again on the classicness and the greatness of Clint Eastwood, I mean, like you said, it's an ongoing classic character like Indiana Jones and those type of movies. So.
Right.
That's my vote.
Well, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was not only my prom theme, but it's also my pick right here. You can never go wrong with Clint Eastwood.
Is it your prom theme because from the minute you woke up that day to the minute you went to bed, there was The Good, then The Bad, then The Ugly?
Or? It was my prom theme because if you've ever been to a prom in Southern Missouri, where literally one guy showed up in a Bass Pro Shops cap.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that was his formal wear for the evening. It certainly fits.
It's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. It's quite heartbreaking, actually. I'm going to go The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Nothing against Army of Darkness, but I just like the fact that Clint Eastwood, no matter what this guy touches, he is seriously... I wrote that down wrong earlier. He is seriously just always on point, whether it's the movie Unforgiven, whether he's doing the one with the lady, the girl, the boxing...
Yeah.
I can't remember. Million Dollar Baby. Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter what he touches. He does it well.
What about the Camino movie? That was a surprise.
Oh, yeah. Gran Torino. Yeah, that was a very good movie. I liked Gran Torino a lot. And once again, he has this penchant for picking very interesting projects that have a nice flow to them. All right. Up next, I would hope that you guys have at least seen one of these two damn movies, okay? Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the third one,
seen it.
Where they go after, if I remember correctly, that's the one where they go after the actual Holy Grail, the actual cup that Jesus drank from.
Is that the one where they encounter the knights who say knee?
No. Oh, that's that other Holy Grail.
Lord of the Rings 3, Return of the King, which was the third installment. Not the one that won the Academy Award for Best Picture, was the second one.
The second one.
The Tale of the Two Towers, if I remember correctly.
That was a long. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But Return of the King was the dropping the ring finally. Spoiler, dropping the ring finally into the volcano and coming back. And at some point, I'm sure there, Frodo was supposed to have sex with one of the other hobbits because he's gay. But he didn't. And I know I just offended a bunch of fans of the Hobbits and stuff like that. I'm just not a Lord of the Rings guy, okay? I'm not a fantasy guy. I'm a sci-fi guy, but I'm not a big fantasy guy. You know, legend, was it like Tom Cruise on a horse back in, like, when he was 19? That's not, like, impressing me with anything, you know what I'm saying? I was the kid who watched Flight of the Navigator. I wasn't watching Neverending Story, although I did see the movie with the Rockbiter and all that, okay? So I'm going to go Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Plus, I like Indy. And that was probably the last decent Indy look of all the films.
I will also go with Indiana Jones because I don't think you could pay me to watch a Lord of the Rings movie.
Okay.
I'm a little bit like you. I'm not a fantasy guy. I don't particularly care to watch a movie where there's hobbits having gay sex, as you talk about.
Well, they don't have gay sex in the movie, but they should have.
I'm not real sure what a hobbit is. Now, if it's hot lesbian hobbits, okay, we can talk.
Possibly.
Wow.
Possibly.
But what the hell's a hobbit?
Doesn't matter. They win Academy Awards, evidently.
Yes, I guess they do.
Get millions of dollars.
Yeah. Hobbits and Woody Allen.
Originally, I was going to say Indiana Jones, but Lord of the Rings, I don't like sci-fi. I'm not into the whole fantasy weirdo thing. But for some reason, Lord of the Rings was a great movie. It, like, had that drama. Now, the hobbits were weird, and by the first one, I'm like, okay, these hobbits want to, like, do it. Okay. Because it did give you that vibe.
Right.
So I'm going to have to go with Lord of the Rings just because it's a great series.
All right. Well, Indiana Jones is going to move on because two to one. No, but everybody wants to. Maybe you or somebody out there listening's cannon fodder. They're arguing for the hobbits and you just and became their like, best yes. friend.
What yes, was that category you gave that? A fantasy weirdo movie?
Yes.
I think next year at the Academy Awards, they should do an award and do for best fantasy weirdo picture of the year.
Okay.
Great.
The next one up in the first round, Back to the Future 3, where they become cowboys. Cowboys and steampunk rule the earth. Versus The Godfather 3, a very highly anticipated threequel from two movies that one garnered Best Picture. Actually, both of them garnered Best Picture, if I remember correctly. It was the only time a sequel also got Best Picture. It's the only time the two movies from the exact same franchise got Best Picture. I think Godfather 1 and Godfather 2 both got Best Picture. So it was highly anticipated. The problem with The Godfather 3 for me, and this is the kicker to this one, it came like 25 years after Godfather 2. It was early 90s. It was like 90, 91 when it came out. The last Godfather was made in like 76, 77, something like that. It had been so many years between... that would be like 15 years. Something like 14 years. But there was so much time had passed. And then you got old Michael Corleone playing the father of the family. And then you got literally half of the damn cast is the Sopranos playing his kids. Well, this was 5 years before the Sopranos, before the Sopranos hit the air. This was like 5 years before that. So this is a young Christopher from the Sopranos and, you know, a young Drea.
Got his foot blown off.
Definitely. So, like, that's my point. No, wrong movie. Goodfellas. Goodfellas where he plays, where he tells him dance like a clown and he blows his foot off. No, that's Goodfellas.
Sorry.
But Godfather 3, I like The Godfather. The Godfather 3 gets a lot of rat because of the fact that it came so many years after.
Yeah.
They didn't think that they were going to be able to pull it off. The cast wasn't of the typical characters that you kind of fell in love with from the first movie, except for his wife and him. You know, except for Al Pacino and his wife. Those were the two people that kind of still carried over. And there was a couple small roles of, like, former gangsters that you saw in The Godfather 2 that were carried into this one. But not very much.
Well, because of the greatness and the legacy of Godfather 1 and 2, there's no way that you can possibly hate on Godfather 3 or say anything disrespectful towards that movie because it's a classic. It's a classic series, classic characters, great actors. My favorite movie, bottom line, top... hands down.
The Godfather series?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would concur. While I agree that Godfather 3 was a little bit later than maybe it should have been, I'm looking at the other side of the bracket there, and Back to the Future, you know, sometimes you get those franchises that you get to that third movie and you're like, okay, did we really need this? Did we really need all this stuff to happen? I mean, Back to the Future is that kind of franchise for me. Back to the Future 1, good. Back to the Future 2, okay, you knew it was coming because
right, you got Michael. Yeah, they're going to have to go to the future eventually.
By the third one, it's like, really? Come on.
But I hate that these are up against each other because I love Back to the Future series.
Well, that's the beauty of the tournament of pop culture here. You have to choose. So, do we take Al Pacino and his crazy family, the Corleones, into the next round, or do we allow Michael J. Fox twitch his way over into round two?
I say always side with a crazy Italian family.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Back to the Future 3 loses. The Godfather moves on. All right. Next one. One of my favorite matchups in this entire thing. And the reason I like it because this is going to be a tough pick for me. Over the last few years, I have a young daughter. I have watched Toy Story 3 a gajillion times. It is a really well done movie. It's very entertaining. It's as good as the first and the second Toy Stories, which you don't get a lot of the times when you get to the third of any movie. You didn't even get that with the third Godfather. Like, they didn't get an Academy Award nomination or anything like that. So, Toy Story 3 versus Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. The third Mad Max movie starring one fantastic Tina Turner. That's right, Tina Turner in the role of the Queen of Thunderdome. Okay? Where do we go, guys? Where do we go on this one? I mean, Toy Story 3, probably one of the top grossing prequel, sequel, threequels of all time. Literally, across the board. It way outsold Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. But you got crazy Mel Gibson, who's going to go on eventually some type of a racist Jewish tangent.
Right.
He wasn't doing that yet.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that yet. He was actually a decent actor. He still looked young and hot.
Isn't he still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive. But he was young and hot back then. You know, it was back when he was the young, hot guy. He had the body going on and everything like that. The ladies loved him.
I'm
going
to pretend you didn't say that, Mark.
He did. But how can you deny a cast of Tom Hanks? Huh? You got Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
Right.
All right? You got that guy. You got Michael Keaton played Ken Doll, the Ken Doll in the movie.
Right.
You've got an all-star cast. This literally comes down to the crazy whack jobness of one Mel Gibson versus an entire cast of like Hollywood superstars, including Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Well, I will say this. While I will acknowledge the bonus points for a Cliff Clavin appearance.
Yes, okay.
John Ratzenberger, I believe that is.
Yes, that is John Ratzenberger.
Recall.
Yes, it is.
I also, however, must admit that unlike you, according to my legal team, I do not have any children. Therefore, I have not been forced to watch Toy Story 3 a bajillion times.
Okay.
All right. And I acknowledge that Mad Max brought Tina Turner's career, really opened her up for a great career in the 1980s. I mean, she had a great career before that, but that really prolonged her career even more.
I would say it did. She probably got the role because of her album she released in 84.
Yeah. Right. But really, that was just one of the quintessential 80s movies. So I got to go with Mad Max.
I'm actually going to go with Toy Story 3. I think Toy Story 3 brings it out. That means Ashley Kane is going to be the tiebreaker of seeing who goes through to the next round.
Oh, there's no pressure.
I wasn't going to choose, but I'm going to have to say Toy Story 3 just because.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's like you said, it's great movies, and I've never seen the third Mighty Max or Mad Max.
Mighty Max.
Remember that cartoon? No one remembers that cartoon, Mighty Max, in the 90s.
No,
was he like a ninja? Did he look like a little
ninja? There was an owl, and there was a big, huge guy that was buff, and he would whoop everyone's tail.
I remember the Mighty Max characters that you could buy, the little characters.
There was a cartoon.
Okay. Coming in next is, Toy Story 3 moves on. Bourne Ultimatum versus Batman Forever. Mr. Freeze. Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's right. You get some Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Who was Batman in that? Was that,
That would have been a George Clooney production, if I remember correctly.
Bing.
Right before Val Kilmer. That would be, yes, definitely. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I can't really necessarily double check right now, but we have Batman Forever with Mr. Freeze as the main culprit. Tommy Lee Jones makes a special appearance as Two-Face.
Wasn't Michael Keaton the Batman in that one?
No, he wasn't. He was in the first two. And then this by the third one, they had moved over to George Clooney, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Well, it was either George Clooney, then Val Kilmer, or Val Kilmer, then George Clooney. I think it was George Clooney first, then Val Kilmer. Bourne Ultimatum, starring one Matt Damon. What do you think about Matt Damon? Is he hottie? Is he a hottie? No, no Matt Damon. Bourne Ultimatum, third in the Bourne series, the Jason Bourne series. Did you guys see the Jason Bourne series?
Not all of them.
Not all of them. Which one did you miss? The one we need?
Yeah, pretty much.
What about you?
I saw the one... See, I'm not even going to describe because I don't even know, but I did see a couple of them. I don't know if I saw that.
All right, let's just put this straight to a vote then. Bourne Ultimatum or Batman Forever, which one's going through?
I'm going to go Batman Forever, although when it came out, I was a little disappointed because I thought it would be Batman Fever, the disco years. But
go ahead. What do you say, Ashley?
I'm going to say Batman Forever just because of Val Kilmer.
All right, so Batman Forever is moving on. Big tough loss for Bourne Ultimatum. I thought that that one would have gotten a little bit further into the tournament, but no big deal there. We are moving on, as we always do, with the Tournament of Pop Culture. Return of the Jedi. That's right. The famous green lightsaber of Luke Skywalker makes its appearance. You have the Emperor getting into arguments, throwing Darth Vader around and creating problems for everyone. Versus Die Hard with a Vengeance, Samuel L. Jackson running around with crazy Bruce Willis trying to save schools from getting bombed.
That was a good one.
I would be honest, I'm going to go Die Hard with a Vengeance. And the reason I'm going Die Hard with a Vengeance is because, honestly, Die Hard with a Vengeance was fun for me to watch. I liked Return of the Jedi, and I know there's a lot of Star Wars fans out there. And Return of the Jedi had a lot of action figures and collectibles, a very big push behind it. And I liked the green lightsaber, and I was a huge Return of the Jedi fan. I just didn't really understand movies back then, and the killer for me is that last scene where they're all like ghosts up in the tree dancing over the Ewoks. Okay, the Ewoks kind of killed it for me. You know, I like, they're cute little teddy bears, and I'm 11 years old, so I'm thinking, okay, this is right. Cool, right? But at the same point, I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird. It's a bunch of teddy ruxpins running around. What about you guys?
Well, I despise Star Wars. Despise it.
Mm-hmm.
My friend tortures me by watching it. Every Saturday, there's like a marathon.
Okay.
So it's like, no, I'm going to have to go with Bruce Willis.
All right, Bruce Willis for you. What about you?
I would also agree. I'm not a Star Wars fan. I appreciate, you know.
You seem like the Star Wars type.
I really am not. You know, really, I'm not a sci-fi guy at all, believe it or not.
Your total sci-fi look, though.
Do you like soccer with small shorts and ball sacks hanging out?
I do watch soccer. They do not wear the small shorts nor the sacks of balls anymore.
Okay, but I got you. Okay. Now, okay, so Die Hard is moving on. That's a big upset for a lot of people.
You're going to get hate mail over that.
They think that Return of the Jedi should honestly move on.
Right.
This is actually a good one for me.
There's guys in their mom's basement right now that are firing off some epithets at you.
Technically, this one's not. It's kind of a no-brainer for me, but I think it's a very interesting matchup. Ocean's 13, a superstar cast with George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon. You name a person in Hollywood, Don Cheadle, they're in this movie. Okay, and somebody who was also in The Godfather 3, Andy Garcia. He's also in Ocean's 13. He owns the actual hotel that they're trying to break into. He's actually trying to marry, what's her name, Erin Brockovich.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Roberts.
Versus a classic, Christmas Vacation. Chevy Chase and the family get together for one rowdy little Christmas, and boy... Cousin Eddie, he just comes through like a champ, man. Uh-huh. It's the Jelly of the Month Club, Clark. It's the gift that keeps giving the whole year through. That's what it is.
I could swear that they took the Randy Quaid character in that movie and designed it off of somebody in my family.
All right.
I was going to ask you that.
Oh, yeah, totally. I will not even deny it. I have family members that are totally the RV with the outhouse and the whole thing. Christmas Vacation is not only my favorite of that series, but... it's my favorite holiday movie of all time.
Dude, Christmas Vacation is a classic. Yeah. I'm going Christmas Vacation. Yeah. Christmas Vacation for you too, Ashley?
Yeah, you would think because of all the hotness in Ocean's 13, but funny outweighs hot any day. So, Christmas Vacation.
But don't even perpetrate. You think Randy Quaid is hot.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he said perpetrate.
All right. We're moving on to the second round of the Tournament of Pop Cultures, and this usually goes a little faster because we kind of already broken the movies down for what they're worth, but we kind of gloss them back and forth. Up first, Rocky III versus The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I'm sorry. This, to me, is a no-holds-bar. Mr. T and his mohawk, nostalgic and made the 80s. Thunderlips, Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania, WWE, nostalgic, made the 80s. Rocky III was the MTV... If MTV films existed in 1983 when this movie came out, they would have made Rocky III.
Oh, absolutely.
And the movie, the soundtrack, Eye of the Tiger... totally 80s, oh, yeah. Okay? Rocky III is moving on in my book. Yes. What about you?
Mine yes. too.
All right, Rocky III moves on to the next round. Okay, up next, an interesting competition. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade versus The Godfather 3. I'm probably on this one going to go Indiana Jones. Oh. I think that as far as the characters go across the board, Indy is a stronger, more typical character from movie to movie to movie.
You're right.
I'm going to go with Indiana Jones. Where about you guys think?
I'm going to go Godfather 3, just because it's more my kind of movie.
All right, fair enough.
I'm a mob girl. I love mob movies. Okay. Godfather.
All right, Godfather moves on. The Godfather is going to be taking on Rocky 3 in the semifinals. Toy Story 3 versus Batman Forever. So you got two huge franchises with the Batman versus Toy Story. This is going to be a tough one. I think that a lot of people are big haters on the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze, Michael Keaton, and Jack Nicholson. All of them did the first two movies so well that by the time you got to the George Clooney version, it's Val Kilmer.
Yes.
It's the Val Kilmer one. Okay. This is also the one, if I remember correctly, that they introduced Robin, Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, Chris O'Donnell
in this
Robin.
Movie too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough one. Robin finally gets his shot. You get to see Robin, and Chris O'Donnell does a pretty good job. Also, if you remember, was it this one or was it the next one where Alicia Silverstone ends up playing Batgirl?
Was that the one with Jim Carrey? Because I think the Jim Carrey...
This is the Jim Carrey one.
So I think she was in the one with Jim Carrey.
Okay, so then you got a pretty start...
Whatever happened to Alicia Silverstone anyway?
I mean, she put out a video... Crush on her she put out then. A video, literally, if I remember correctly, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. She's the famous actress who chews her food up and spits it into her child's mouth. Like a baby, oh, like a mom bird does to a baby. And she took the YouTube video and did it.
Oh, Lord.
And then put it on the air. Yeah. That's, wow. that's
just goes to show you. Every hot chick in Hollywood gets nuts as they go along.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's her. Toy Story 3 or Batman Forever? Ashley, you're first.
Batman Forever. I was a teeny bopper in the 90s, so this is right up my alley.
Yeah, this is the battle of who could care less for me, but I cannot vote for a cartoon that was not released by Warner Brothers prior to 1960. So I'm going Batman.
I will say, for mine, just to put it out there, Toy Story 3, I would have put that through. I just think it's a stronger movie all the way around. Die Hard with a Vengeance. Sam Jackson again. Crazy Bruce Willis running around. Versus Christmas Vacation. Once again, he's up against a juggernaut in Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation.
Yep.
Christmas Vacation took everything that was great about the original Vacation movie, threw away all the crap from European Vacation, the second movie, and brought it all back to Christmas time and something that we can all associate with the Christmas tree and our family having crazy people in it and everything like that. Christmas Vacation, for me, I'm going Christmas Vacation. Travis?
Absolutely. There's very few franchises that get better as they go to the second and third and fourth movie. Christmas Vacation did.
Yep.
They were all great.
So. There it is. Yeah. All right. We are in the semifinals. It is almost time for us to get out of here. So, Rocky 3 versus Godfather 3. I'm going to say it's a tough one. Both movies have a really decent storyline. Both movies have great build towards where they're going with their stuff. I think Rocky 3, though, for this nostalgic value... For my childhood, I've got to go Rocky III. I had the Eye of the Tiger soundtrack and the Survivor soundtrack from Survivor, the group that made the song, because of that. Like, I had to have it. Running around the house, listening to Eye of the Tiger. That's it. I got to go Rocky III. What about you, Ashley?
I'm going to have to stick with my hands-down favorite, Godfather.
Okay.
Got to put it through.
You're going with the Godfather III.
This is a tough one, but... I got to go with Rocky only because it was good enough that you could still get a fourth movie out of it and have it be good.
Yeah, Godfather and the fourth 3 movie by was actually somewhat better in certain cases.
4 was great. 5 was abysmal. 5 never should have been done.
Okay. Batman Forever. So Rocky 3 moves on to the finals. Batman Forever versus Christmas Vacation. I still think, hands down, this is Christmas Vacation. Yeah. I mean, there's just not much that's going to take it up. Now, this is where it gets a little hairy. Finals of this one. Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase versus the nostalgia and the juggernaut that was Rocky III. Great soundtrack, great movie. You already had two good movies to set up the character before it in both cases. I mean, in both cases. You have memorable soundtracks, decent cast, and the movies really speak to whatever it is. In Christmas Vacation, it's Christmas time. It's a holiday thing. In Rocky III, it's the 80s. It's that nostalgic thing, with the way that they dressed and they talked and they looked. The background, you know? Where do you sit heart-wise with this? For me, I have better memories with Christmas Vacation. Not that Rocky wasn't better. I'm going Christmas Vacation. I think it's the strongest of the ones on this list.
I enjoyed Christmas Vacation more and still enjoy it today. But in terms of which one had a bigger impact on pop culture, a bigger impact on society, had more legs, I have to, and I'm going to punch myself for saying this, I actually have to give it to Rocky III.
Okay. Ashley Kane, you
have a question.
You are the final break on this entire situation. Oh,
it all comes down to you. There's no pressure.
Okay. Now, did he run up those steps in every Rocky movie?
Almost.
Or was it only one?
It was one. I think he did a reprise in four or three. He did a reprise in three with Apollo Creed. Him and Apollo ran up them together.
Okay, man, like that scene is like you said, the nostalgia of Rocky. But Christmas Vacation is hands down like hilarious. Like, how can you not like that movie?
All right, so what are you saying?
Christmas Vacation.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the Tournament of Pop Culture for Best Third Installments, or frequels as we like to call them, Christmas Vacation. Yes!
You know what I was surprised didn't make the list?
What's that?
Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's
one of my favorite movies of all time.
Unfortunately, when I did
first
the research,
one was awesome.
When I did the research, there were a few movies that did Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah.
Big moneymaker, but it wasn't well received by critics, and there was a lot of problems with the movie in general. It wasn't as good as the first two. I tried to get the best hodgepodge of movies that either exceeded or were better than their prequels.
Right.
And I think in Christmas Vacation, better. Rocky 3, better. Rocky 4 kind of surpassed it, or equaled it too. But you know, a lot of these movies, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was probably better than The Last Crusade, but it was the franchise of Indiana Jones. That's a legendary franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't like knock that one. So that's why I chose some of the ones. And Toy Story 3, that's a juggernaut on the cartoon side. There's nothing you can do about
that.
You
did some good picks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that's going to do it for us here on The Q for this week. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and I want to thank Ashley Kane and my friend Travis Cook for joining me today on the show, and 12barproductions.com. Mm-hmm. Make sure you go check that out if you guys want any productions done, high-end productions. You guys work with some of the best artists in the St. Louis, as well as the Midwest.
Yes.
To come through here. And also, they can find you on Facebook.
Yes. Just look me up, Ashley Kane, just how it sounds. And I can give you all the information about the commission, any questions you have. We don't die, we multiply.
Fair enough. And now, Travis Cook, America's Evil Genius, once a week, he's putting out crap that doesn't mean nothing to the rest of the world.
I am putting out fantastic political commentary,
okay,
the likes of which you'll see nowhere else. Just go to youtube.com/America's Evil Genius, all one word, and you can see all of my archives. Also, you can see me each month in East Carondelet, Illinois, Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling, as I have returned to the professional wrestling business triumphantly.
All right. Also, don't forget to check thequnow.com. That's thequnow.com for new episodes. And the new blog section that I just put up, where we're going to post show-related information. Not so much a blog for me, though I did do a blog post the other day on the John Cena beating Brock Lesnar match at Extreme Rules, just because I'm a big pro wrestling fan, and I really thought that it worked out well that Brock Lesnar lost. A lot of people were down on it. They thought that the pay-per-view was great. They thought the match was great. Go check out the new blog section. It's called The Breaking Point. That's what I call the new blog. So check that for old episodes, new episodes. As I said earlier, go back and find the Tournament of Pop Culture Best Current Television Shows. Nice twist at the end on who wins that one, and you'll see why by listening to the show. Also, whatever's coming out, you guys can check it out there. And if you want to get a hold of me for letters, I had a couple of letters here, but I didn't get a chance to read them tonight. Maybe you know what? Maybe I'll do that as an extra bonus. We'll read the letters, and I'll pop those up into the blog section so that you guys can get a little taste of what's going on over on the blog. Okay?
How many restraining orders did you have?
Not many.
Oh, okay.
Not many. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. For Ashley Kane and Travis Cook, I would like to say God bless all of you. God bless the USA, and thank you so much for listening. Tell all your friends and family. This has been The Q. This is Talk Radio, and we're turning it up to 11. B-I-G-B-O-I.